Okay, good morning. Thank you for coming. Today's daf is daf Yudalit. It continues the topic of ordaining rabbis, creating musmachin, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, creating experts by a teacher vouching that this next generation, this student is a great, great sage, deserving of being part of the chain that traces all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu and Yehoshua, of the greatest scholars of the Jewish people. And there are all sorts of halachic issues that are only to be determined by mumchin, by great scholars. Most prominently, dinei knasos, laws like the thief paying double, the law of paying five times for a thief who steals the sheep and then slaughters it. These are payments that we would not have intuitively thought of. These are payments in excess of the principal. They are therefore called dine knas. They are called a knas. And imposing these fines and judging the matters of these fines can only be done by musmachim, by sages who have smicha. We learned yesterday a brisa. The brisa says just like you need three sages to put their hands on the bull, if the Sanhedrin issued the wrong ruling and we need to bring a korban as an atonement, it is three sages who are required to create a musmach, to endow the student and ordain him with the title of Rebbe and give him the powers to rule the rulings of Dinei Knasos. Says the Gemara, what's the source for that? Is it for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu laid his hands on Yehoshua, on Joshua, but Moshe was one person, it should only require one sage? You'll say, well, Moshe has the status of an entire court, so then you need all 71. So the Gemara said, Kasha, that's a question. But the bottom line is it's three. Amar le Rav Acha, b'rei de Rava le Rav Ashi. Rav Acha, the son of Rava, said to Rav Ashi, we are, I guess, about 10 lines up from the bottom. The other, Amar Samchina le. Do the sages literally have to lay their hand on the student? Do they have to literally lean with their hands on the student? Amalei said, no, that's not what happens. Samchin lei bishma. They ordain him with a title, with a new name. Kari lei Rebbe. They call him Rebbe. That's what Rav Shiragon quotes this Gemara, that some sages who are called Rebbe, like Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Akiva, that's because they were musmachim. They had smicha. That's why they had the title Rebbe. Other sages in the Gemara, mostly the sages of Bavel, don't have the title Rebbe. They're called Rav, like Rav Huna. Why are they called Rav Huna? Why not Rebbe Huna? Because they were in Bavel, they didn't have smicha. Because smicha is only in the land of Israel. That's why they're called Rav. So what does it mean to be a musmach? That he's called Rebbe. And they gave him permission to rule and to judge on matters of fines. Yeah, question.
There's no smicha in Babel. Didn't we learn at the beginning of the Septa that whether the smicha from Babel will be accepted in Israel or whether the smicha from Israel will be accepted in Babel?
Well, we didn't see smicha. We saw permission to issue rulings.
It's not smicha.
But not smicha.
What is exactly this smicha, Rabbi?
Ordaining, giving them the title Rebbe and the permission to issue rulings.
Who would give that?
The earlier generation.
71 judges they would give it
no,
to?
No, we said three judges from the 71.
Three judges they would...
Three of the 71 would say, this student, Meir, knows a lot. He knows enough to be part of this chain. He's a worthy member. So he's now Rebbe Meir, not just Meir. He's Rebbe Meir, and he can issue rulings on fines.
So the three have to do it, or two out of three?
Presumably all three. Uh-huh. Presumably all three.
Good question.
The Chad lo samich. So the Gemara now asks, is this true that only a single sage does not have the power to ordain? But we know that Rav Yehuda taught us a story. Rav Yehuda taught us a story in the name of Rav. However, that man should be remembered for good. The Romans persecuted the Jews, especially after the Bar Kokhba revolt. There were the terrible Hadrianic persecutions. It was a very difficult period. And they made it illegal for the older generation to ordain and give smicha to the students. So there was a rabbi who risked his life. He gave his life. Who is that great man, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Shmo? Shilmalei, who if not for him, nishtak chudinei knasos mi Yisrael. The laws of fines would have been forgotten from the Jewish people if not for Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. So before the Gemara goes on to the story, it asks a question. Nishtakhu, the laws of fines would have been forgotten. Why? Negrasinu, let's keep reviewing them. Let's keep learning them. There, we know that we can learn them. Why would they be forgotten? Ela bakludine knasas miyisrael. What it means is that the laws of fines would have stopped. Why? Because the only way to issue a ruling on a fine is with musmachim, and smicha was about to be stopped. The wicked government, namely the Romans, made a decree against the Jews. They said, any rabbi who gives smicha, any rabbi who calls his student Rebbe, he will be killed. And the student who gets smicha will get killed. The ir shesomchim batei charev, and the entire city in which a smicha ceremony occurred, the whole city will be destroyed. And if they take it out of the city to the yards around the city, to the tchum, to the enclosure around the city, utchumin shesomchim bayeakru, that entire enclosure will be uprooted. So ma'asi Yehuda ben Bava, what did Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava do? Alach v'yashav lo ben shnei harim gedolim. He went and he sat between two huge mountains, so they can't uproot the mountains. Uvein shtei ayaros gedolos, and he was in between two cities, so he wasn't in a city. Uvein shnei tchumei Shabbos, and he was in between the enclosures of the cities, he wasn't in an enclosure. What were the cities? Bein Usha l'Shfaram, between Usha and Shfaram. V'samach sham chamisha zakenim, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava ordained there, at the risk of his life, 5 elders. He said they are now rebbes, and these rebbeim can issue rulings on fines. So he kept the laws of fines within the Jewish nation for at least another generation. Eluain, who were the 5 sages that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava ordained? Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe Yossi, the Rebbe Lazar ben Shamua. Rabbi Avaya said it was actually 6 sages. Mosif Af Rabbi Nechemya. He added also Rabbi Nechemya. So Kivan Shikiru Oivin Bahen. But then the enemies recognized them. Even though they were hiding, they were caught. And the Romans started to come after them. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was old, and he wasn't well, and he couldn't run away. Amalahan, so he told his 5 sages, his 5 students, Banai, my children, Rutsu, run away. Amrulo, they sent him, Rebbe, our teacher, Matehe Alecha, what's going to be with you? We run away, but you can't run away. You're old, you're sick. Amrulahan, he said to them, Hareini muta lifnehem ke'even she'in lahofchem. I'm going to put myself in front of them like a stone that cannot be overturned. I'm going to stand here and fight so fiercely that I'm going to buy you time to escape. Amru, they said, lo zazu misham. They didn't leave there. Ad shenat subo shalosh meos lunbios shel barzel. They didn't leave there until they stuck into him. The Romans stuck into him 300 spears of iron. Vasa'uhu kekavra. They made him like a sieve. Like a sieve, you strain noodles with a little utensil with lots of little holes. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was so devoted to continuing smicha that he absorbed such a terrible death, being speared by 300 different spears, holding up 300 different Roman soldiers, and getting time for his 5 students to escape and to continue the issuing of rulings of Dine Knassos for another generation.
They chop him up like the spaghetti thing?
No, they all speared him. They all put spears in.
Like 300 bullets.
Yeah, question.
sorry, all the time I did it. To make Slicha, how the Romanian wouldn't, this is something very quiet. It's mean, that's between me and you.
They must have had spies within the Jewish community, and they had informers. They had a lot of power, unfortunately. So now the Gemara says, what do you see here? The whole story is about Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. And you just said that smicha is a function of three sages. We don't know why, but it's three sages. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is one sage. So you see, only a single sage can give smicha. Answer the Gemara, no. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, achrina have a bad day. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava had other sages with him. There were two other sages with him to give smicha. The reason why they are not mentioned, mishum kvodo Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, because of the honor of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, because Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was older, and he was a greater sage. And look at the price Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava pays. He gives up his life. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, who did so much and was so great, his name is mentioned. And the others are not mentioned. Ask the Gemara, is this story from Rabbi Yehuda Marav true? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Samche, was Rabbi Meir given smicha by Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava? For Rabbi Baruch Hanan, Rabbi Yochanan, we learned back in Masechta Yevamos that Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 students, and they all died from the illness of diphtheria because they didn't treat each other with respect between Pesach and Shavuos. But Rabbi Akiva didn't allow that to knock him out. He went down to our sages in the south, to Rabbi Senu Shabadarom, and he taught five students. And we know that Rabbi Barbar Chanas and Rabbi Yochanan, one of them was Rabbi Meir. Kolom Rabbi Meir lo samcha Rabbi Akiva eno alatoa. Anyone who says Rabbi Meir didn't get smicha from Rabbi Akiva is making a mistake. Rabbi Meir got smicha from Rabbi Akiva. So why are you saying Rabbi Meir gets smicha from Yehuda ben Bava? So the Gemara says like this, Samche Rabbi Akiva. Initially, Rabbi Akiva gave him smicha, as we learned in Masechta Yevamos. Velo kiblu, but the Jews did not accept it. The commentators explain, apparently Rabbi Meir was too young. And Margolios Hayam, Rabbi Reuven Margolios says, from many sources, to be a samuch, you have to be at least 18. He was apparently too young. He wasn't married. So Rabbi Akiva gave him smicha, but it wasn't accepted. So now, Samcha Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava v'kiblu. Now, in this story, when Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava died, he gave smicha to Rabbi Meir, and it was accepted. So it's true. Rabbi Akiva gave him smicha, but that wasn't accepted. But now, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava gave him smicha, and it was accepted. Okay, now we get into the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. Again, about smicha. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi taught, Ain smicha b'chutz la'aretz. There's no smicha outside of Eretz Yisrael. Smicha is only in Eretz Yisrael. Again, the Margolios Hayam, Reb Reuven Margolios, quotes the pasuk, Ki mitzion teitzei Torah udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. The verse says, for out of Zion will emerge Torah and the word of God from Jerusalem. So smicha is only in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? My ain't smicha. What does it mean there's no smicha outside of Israel? Yilema, if you're going to say it means that when sages get ordained in Israel, like Rebbe Zeira was ordained once he moved to Israel, or Rebbe Yochanan, if they are to come back to Bavel, now already it's as if they're not ordained, they can't issue rulings of Dine Knassos. Yilema de lo Dine Dine Knassos, they can't issue rulings on fines outside of Israel. Klal b'chutz la'aretz at all outside of Israel, because they sort of lose their status of being ordained once they leave Israel. It's not true, but it's not. You look at the Mishnah, Sanhedrin, a court of 23, Nohagas ben Baretz ben b'chutz la'aretz, can act whether in Israel or outside of Israel. If you have a court of 23 musmachim, they have the ability to kill people, put people to death. If they leave Israel, outside of Israel also, they would be able to kill people. So if they have the ability to issue rulings of death, they certainly have the ability to issue rulings about fines, that a thief should pay five times. Ellis, so what does it mean there's no smicha in chutz la'aretz? De'lo samchinan b'chutz la'aretz. We cannot create an ordained rabbi. We cannot create a musmach in chutz la'aretz. If someone got smicha in Israel and then he left Israel, he's still a samach. But outside of Israel, you can't create a musmach. That's why outside of Israel, there's no Rebbe, There's only a Rav. So now the Gemara says, let's discuss this a little bit. Pshita, it's obvious. If the Somchin are in Chutz Laretz, then Ismachin Ba'aretz, if you have sages who have Smicha, and they left Israel, and they want to give Smicha to a student who's away from them in Israel. So Amrina, we just said to Lo, you said that even if they'd have their student with them in Chutz Laretz, they couldn't ordain the student. So certainly, if the student is not with them, they are outside of Israel and the student is in Israel, they can't create a status of an ordained musmach to the student who's in Israel. Ella, what about the following? Somchin Baretz. We just said there's no smicha outside of Israel. But what happens if the people giving the smicha are in the land? It's Rabbi Yochanan. It's Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. V'nismachin b'chutz laretz. But their students, Rav Huna, Mar Zutra, Rav Shri Ragon, are outside of Israel. They're in Bavel. Can it work that way? You said there's no smicha outside of Israel. Does that mean none at all? Or maybe there's none if it's the if everyone's outside of Israel, the masmich, the one giving the smicha, the one getting it, are outside of Israel, it can't work. But maybe if the masmich, the one giving, is in Israel, maybe he doesn't need the samach, the one who gets smicha, to be next to him, as we just said. We began today by learning. What does it mean, smicha? Do the sages put their hands on the student the way Moshe put his hands on Yehoshua? We said, no, Moshe put his hands on Yehoshua. But ever since, what does it mean, smicha? It's not literally the laying of hands on a student. It's declaring, this student is now Rebbe. This student has the ability to issue rulings on fines. It's giving him powers so that they should be able to make a declaration if they're in Israel and he's out in Bavel. Maybe they could do that, or maybe not. Maybe at least the student has to be next to the person giving him the smicha. Doesn't have to be have his hands on him, but he has to be next to him. Yeah, question, David.
It just seems like in the case we just did with Yehuda ben Bava, they have to be together.
Very good.
Why else would you?
That's right, right. David makes a good point. You see from the story of Yehuda ben Bava that they have to be next to each other, because if they could be far, and even in different countries, so let them go to Bavel, and Yehuda ben Bava announced that they have smicha. So Tashma, come in here, a proof, as David proved. The Gemara quotes a different story, which indicates this, with Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, as we know, was the author of the Talmud Yerushalmi. And he was the Nasi, the leader of the Jews in the land of Israel. Rabbi Yochanan having mitzdayer aleid Rav Shaman bar Abba. Rabbi Yochanan was upset about Rav Shaman bar Abba, Lohava Gabayu, that he was never next to him, to Lismechei, in order to give him smicha. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan wanted to give Rav Shaman bar Abba smicha, and it never worked out. He never could get Rav Shaman bar Abba there with two other sages to be able to give him smicha. When Rav Shaman bar Abba would visit Rabbi Yochanan, it was only Rabbi Yochanan there, only one other sage there, and he was upset because he wanted to give him smicha. So one second, if he could give him smicha without his presence, why be upset? Get two, Rabbi Yochanan's the Nasi, there are times he's with other sages, get to two sages together and announce, Rav Shaman bar Abba's a Rebbe. Apparently not, you have to be there in front of the Rebbe to get the smicha.
What was the borderline of Israel on those days, Rabbi? It was from Iraq to Jordan River or something, right?
What's the border of Israel in regards to smicha? You're asking a very great question. Is that the same border as the border of Israel in regards to Trumos and Maisos? It may be different. There's a big essay of Rav Soloveitchik about this. There's something called Shem Eretz Yisrael, that which has the name Eretz Yisrael, versus that which has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, that which has the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. Presumably, smicha is not a function of the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. It's a function of the Shem Eretz Yisrael, that which has the name Eretz Yisrael. So maybe that which has the name is even broader than that which was conquered. It can go very far, maybe.
Maybe. And then in Israel, it would be probably like, northern Tel Aviv, different than in Yerushalayim area.
No,
right?
No, it's all Eretz Yisrael. Tel Aviv and Yerushalayim are all Eretz Yisrael.
Surya, Rabbi, up to date, there is always machlokot about Surya,
Okay.
Hala.
Another story where we see that the sages need to be in the presence of the ordainer. Rabbi Shimon ben Zirud v'chad imei. Rabbi Shimon ben Zirud and one who was with him, one of his contemporaries. Umani, who is that? Rabbi Yonasan ben Achmai. I mean, some say it's Rabbi Yonasan ben Achmai v'chad imei. Rabbi Yonasan ben Achmai and one who was with him. Umani, who is that? Rabbi Shimon ben Zirud. Chad Avu Gabayu, one who was with them. He was in front of the two sages, in front of the three sages, Samchu, they were able to give him smicha. V'chad lo havu gabayu, and one who was not with them, he wasn't in front of Rabbi Yochanan, the two sages, lo samchu, they didn't give him smicha. So again, you see that smicha requires the presence of the rabbi and the musmach, and you can't do it for those in Bavel by rabbis in Eretz Yisrael. So that concludes that discussion. Okay. Rabbi Chanina v'Rab Hoshaya havu kamishtakid Rabbi Yochanan l'mismachay. Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Hoshaya, Rabbi Yochanan very much wanted to give them smicha. He wanted to give them smicha. He wanted to keep them, you know, bring them into this, we'll call it Mosaic society, the society of Moshe Rabbeinu. Lo havu mistaya milsa. It just couldn't work out. He never got them in front of him with two other sages. It didn't work out. Havu kamitzdayer tuva. So Rabbi Yochanan was so upset. He was very angry, very upset, very frustrated. He was in a lot of pain. Amule, they said to him, lo nitzdayer mar. The master shouldn't be upset. Don't feel bad. It's a bracha that we don't have smicha. Bracha? Yeah. Danan mi the base Eli kasinan. We are descendants of Eli. We know the beginning of the book of Shmuel tells us that there was a Kohen Gadol in Shiloh, the last Kohen Gadol of Shiloh. His name was Eli HaKohen. And unfortunately, Eli HaKohen had two sons, Chafni uPinchas, who were wicked. How wicked? The Gemara says not as bad as the Navi presented. The Navi presented that they were sleeping with married women. But the Gemara says it means that they would delay the offering of the karbanos of the women after they gave birth, and because of that, the women would be later to their husbands, and that's already considered as if they were sleeping with them. But they were abusing their power on their level. So they were cursed that there shouldn't be any adults from the descendants of Beis Eli. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachman and Rav Yonah's son. Rav Shmuel bar Nachman and Rav Yonah's son. Minayin shein nismach lam Beis Eli. How do we know that descendants of the Eli family are not to get smicha? Shenema, as the pasuk says, lo yiyeh zaken beveischa kol hayamim. There will not be an elder sage in your household for all time. My zaken. What does it mean, an elder sage? Yilema zaken mamish. There won't be an old man. No one's going to age. But the verse says, kol mar bisbeischa yamusu anashim. The great majority of your household will die before they become fully adults. They're going to die at age 18. They're not even going to reach 20. So what does it mean they won't be sages? They're not going to be 80-year-olds. They're not even going to be 20-year-olds. So no, what it means is the great majority won't even be 20-year-olds. And then Ela Smicha. Yeah. And even those who maybe do somehow succeed in getting past 20, as we learned in the Gemara earlier, someone's involved in Torah and in Chesed, that's a merit to be able to live longer, to live to 40, maybe even 60. But they're not to get smicha, because the pasuk says, lo yiyeh zaken. Zaken can also mean zeshekana chachma, he who has acquired wisdom. And so they are not to get smicha. So they said, it's a good thing. We're Kohanim. We're from the household of Eli. It would endanger our lives to get smicha. So it's a good thing that it's Hashem's arranging that you can't give us smicha. Don't be upset.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. When we say ra'ish, we know it's very Adam Chashuv. It's not the same thing when they say Zaken in the Gemara, like it's when they mean Zaken, it means Zaken. Because when they say Ish,
yeah, that's in the Torah. Ish is a prominent person, but this is a Zaken, is a Musmach, we're saying now.
So, why are they referred to as Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yeh?
If they didn't get Smicha. Yeah, I know. Interesting question.
Because they were Kohen, they did not. Or they
came from that family. What's of that? Eli.
Or they came from Eli family. Is that why they didn't get the smicha?
That's right. That's why they couldn't get smicha, because they were from Eli's family. Do they talk about it in the footnote? What's that? Do they talk about it?
In the note, they bring down the marshal and says the text is wrong. It shouldn't be called Rav Chanina.
It shouldn't be called Rebbe Chanina. It should be Rav Chanina, right? Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you, Simeon, for pointing that out, because as we've been saying all morning, Rebbe is the title of a person who has smicha, and the whole point is that Rebbe Chanina, Rav Chanina, Rav Hoshaya didn't get smicha, so they should be Rav Chanina, Rav Hoshaya. Rebbe Zeira hava mitamer lemismachei. Now we know that Rebbe Zeira, we learned this back in Ksubis, Rebbe Zeira had been one of the great sages of Bavel. Then he moved from Bavel to Israel. He fasted to forget all of his learning of Bavel, that he should learn the Torah of Eretz Yisrael. Then he moved to Israel. So in Israel, Rabbi Yochanan wanted to give him smicha. And Rabbi Zeira was trying to avoid it. He was hiding. He didn't want to get smicha. To Amr Rabbi Lazar, because Rabbi Lazar said, La'olam hevi kavel v'kayim. Always be low profile, then you'll survive. You know, keep things, keep your head down. Don't have ayin hara, don't be, you know, out there in front of everybody. Don't be public. So he didn't want to be a musma. He didn't want to have the title Rebbe. He'd rather be, you know, less known. But then came in the Shamale, Amr Belazar, but when he heard what Belazar says, Ein adam ola l'gdula, a person does not merit to be lifted up to a position of prominence. Elim kin mochlim lo al kol avonosav, unless all of his sins were forgiven. Now when he gets a new position, Hashem is forgiving all of his sins. He said, okay, good, so let me get the position. Am tzilei anafshe. So then he made himself available. Ki samchul Rabbi Zeira. So when Rabbi Zeira was ordained and he got smichon, he was called Rabbi. Sharu lehachi. They started singing about him. And they gave him the following beautiful song. Lokhal, he doesn't need, you know, any blue eyeliner to make himself look beautiful. The lo srak, he doesn't need rouge to make his cheeks beautiful. The lo pirchus, he doesn't need any anything for the hair. He doesn't need any hair lotions. V'yala schein, and he is producing the beauty and charm just the way he is. Doesn't need anything external to make him nicer. Just amazing the way he is. Ki samchu l'rabami l'rabasi. When they ordained Rabami and Rabiasi, sharu lehachi, they also called, saying for them the following way. They said, kol min dein, anyone like this, smuchu lana, ordain them for us. Because these are such great sages, they understand the halacha, and they explain the halacha. Lo tismuchu lana, don't ordain for us. Lo mismartitin, misarmitin, not from the rags, that don't give any good reasonings. Lo misarmisin, nor from the people who are all confused, and they give us confused reasonings. V'ami lo michamisin, nor from the thieves who won't teach us reasonings. Lo miturmisin, and nor from the empty people who don't have reasonings to explain to us. Give us sages like these who can explain why the ruling is the way it is. Rebbe Avoh ki avu asim imesifta lebei kesar. When Rebbe Avoh would leave the yeshiva and go to the governor, to the Caesar, to advocate in politics for the Jewish people, nafku matronisa lebei kesar. The matrons of the Caesar's household would go out to greet him. Umesharian land, they used to sing to him, Rabba da'ame, leader of his nation, Madbarna da'umse, the guide of his people, Butsina da'nahora, shining candle, Brich masich l'shlam, blessed is your arrival in peace. Okay, that concludes the discussion of the Musmach. Going back to the Mishnah lists all sorts of areas of halacha where we need three judges, areas of halacha where we need five judges, seven judges, areas of halacha that need 23 judges. So it mentioned the idea of Egla Arufa. Egla Arufa is, as we learned in Masechta Sota, if we find a dead body out in the streets, out in the wilderness, dead, so we have to bring sages from the Sanhedrin HaGadol, from the highest court in Jerusalem, and they have to come and they have to measure which city is closest, and then they have to bring out a calf, and the elders of that city have to put their hands on the calf, and they have to declare, our city is not guilty, Yodenu l'shafkos adam hazeh, and they have to bring the calf to a valley, and there they have to chop off the head of the calf, the ceremony of the Egla Arufa. So that's done, Arifas Egla, the chopping off of the head of the calf, Bishlosha, with three judges, that's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says, B'chamisha, with five judges. Tanar Rabbanu, we learned in a Braisa. The source of this dispute is how to read the Psukim. The Pasuk says about the Egla Arufa scenario, V'yatzu zekeinecha v'shoftecha, and your elders and judges will go out. Zekeinecha shnayim, your elders are two. Shoftecha shnayim, your judges another two. Ein bezdin shakl, you can't have an even court, as we learned yesterday. Sometimes you have to issue rulings, whether something needs to be done or not, whether there is a blemish or not. Therefore, mosif and alein odech, you have to add another one. Harekan Chamish, that's a total of five. Rabbi Yehuda, that's a view of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon says, no. It says v'yatzu zekeinecha, that's shnayim, that's two. Your elders will go out. Elders, two. Ein bezdin shaku, you can't have an even numbered court. Mosif and aleim od echatz, you add one more. Rekan shlosha, total of three. Rabbi Shimon, 1 second. Rabbi Shimon, hay shoftecha mayavile. But the Torah doesn't just say zekeinecha, your elders. It also says shoftecha, your judges. It should be two plus two. Nope. He says the reason why it says Shoftecha is not to teach me another two. It's to say that these judges, these Zakeinecha, have to be from the Sanhedrin HaGadol. They have to be from the experts. Rabbi Yehuda will tell you, I don't need Shoftecha to tell me that. Shoftecha teaches me another two. That I would know, Zikne Zakeinecha Nafka. It could have just said Zikne, V'yatsu Zikne. Why did it say V'yatsu Zakeinecha? Your elders are to say your special elders, your elders from the Sanhedrin HaGadol. Rabbi Shimon will tell you, Imi Zikni, if we would have said, V'yatsu Zikni, the elders will go out. Havamina Zikni Hashuk, I would have thought it's just people from the street, old people in the street. Kasav Rachmana, the Torah has to say, Zikenecha, your elders, they have to be at least members of Sanhedrin. But he Kasav Zikenecha, Havamina Sanhedrin Ketan, if we would have said, Zikenecha, your elders, I would have said, members of the lower Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin of 23 judges. Kasav Rachmana, Vishoftecha. That's what the Torah says more, not just Zikenecha, but also Shoftecha, not just judges from the 23 judges, judges from the 71 judges, but not to add another two judges. From the unique, the most special of the judges. Rabbi Yehuda Nami. So in second, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he also should need that. So he'll tell you, no. He learns Gzeira Shava. It says here, Zikenecha. It says in regards to Par He'elam Davar Shel Tzibur, to when the Sanhedrin needs to bring a karban for atonement for having made the wrong ruling, that the Zikne Ha'eda, the sages of the Eda, the sages of the Sanhedrin, have to lean their hands, as we learned yesterday. So he says there's a Gzeira Shava, the same words. That means here too, it has to be sages of the Sanhedrin. So he doesn't need the word Shoftecha to teach me that it's sages of the Sanhedrin. Because Mala Halan, just like in regards to the Par He'elam Davar Shel Tzibur Miuchadim Sheba Eda, it's sages of the Sanhedrin. Here too, it is the most special sages, the members of the Sanhedrin. So, 1 second. E Yalif. So, Leilif Kulu Mehasam. So, if that's the case, that there's a Gzeira Shava, he should learn it all from there. And he should say that the same way he says over there, you need five, here too, you need five. And therefore, Zakenecha v'shoftecha lamali. Why does he need the word Shoftecha to add another two to the two that Zakenecha taught you? Ella, so you have to say like this. Really, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have the Gzeira Shava. Because one word is Zikne, the other word is Zikenecha. They're different words. So maybe he doesn't have a Gzeira Shava. But rather, Rabbi Yehuda holds like this. Zikne is two, Zikenecha is two, Shoftecha is another two. That's a total of five. We said, oh, but we need Shoftecha to tell me it has to be experts. Okay. But it says Vishoftecha. The added Vav is to tell me the other two, Liminyana. And Rabbi Shimon, who uses Shoftecha to teach me that these judges have to be from the highest court, not that there's another two of them, Vav lo darish. He doesn't darshan the Vav of Vishoftecha. He thinks it's normal for the Torah to add the other Vav. Okay. Elameata, so 1 second. If we're all based on reading these psukim, Rabbi Yehuda says Zakenecha is two. The Vav of Vishoftecha is another two, so that's four. You can't have an even number, it's five. Rabbi Shimon says Zakenecha is two. Shoftecha is to tell me that those two have to be from the highest court. The Vav doesn't teach me anything. Elameata, 1 second. Let's go on in those psukim. V'yatzu, it says, and they will go out. That should be another two. Umadid two, and they will measure. That should be another two. So the Rabbi Yehuda Rei Tisha, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we should end up with nine judges. The Rabbi Shimon Shiva, according to Rabbi Shimon, we should end up with seven judges. Answer the Gemara, Ahumi Boile Lekidatanya. Those words are needed for the following brisa. We learned, V'yatzu, and they will go out, Hein V'lo Shluchan. The sages themselves have to go out, not any emissary. Umadidu, and they need a measure. Shafilu Nimtza Ba'alil La'ir, even though it's so clear to the eye that this dead body is closest to the city, there's still a mitzvah to measure and to bring out the tape and measure that it's close to here. Tzarech lasuk b'medida. The sages have to do the measuring of the dead body to the city. Okay, so our Mishnah says that the ritual of Egla Arufa is performed by either three sages of the Sanhedrin or five sages of the Sanhedrin. Says the Gemara, there are other opinions. Masnisa, this Mishnah, Deloki Hai Tana, is not like the following Tana. The Tanya, we were taught in a Braisa, Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov teaches, the verse says, V'yatzu zekeinecha, if you find a dead body, your sages will go out, V'shoftecha, and your judges, zekeinecha, your sages, su Sanhedrin. That means that you need the Sanhedrin. Shoftecha, your judges, Zemelech, you need the king, the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol. Isn't it amazing, right? Think about the care that Halacha teaches us about a single Jewish life. There is an anonymous dead corpse somewhere in the country. No one knows who he is. He's dead. The king, the Kohen Gadol, sages of the Sanhedrin all have to come and they have to start measuring and they have to take care of this single anonymous dead corpse. Unbelievable. Melech, t'chsiv, how do we know that Melech is included in the word shoftecha? As the verse says, Melech b'mishpat yamid eretz, a king with justice will establish a land, will establish the kingdom. Kohen Gadol is a source of shofet, he's called shoftecha, t'chsiv, it says, uvasal ha-kohanim ha-levi'im, you'll come to the kohanim, to the levi'im, ve'al ha-shofet, and to the judge. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it's not just five judges or three judges, it is also the king and the Kohen Gadol. Iboilu, they had a question. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, b'chada pligi, is he just arguing on this one point that he adds the king and the Kohen Gadol to the Egla Rufa ceremony? O b'tarti pligi, or maybe he is arguing on two points. In other words, b'melech v'Kohen Gadol pligi, he's just adding king and Kohen Gadol of the Sanhedrin, but in terms of the judges of the Sanhedrin, members of the Sanhedrin HaGadol, Ikri Rabbi Yehuda, either he holds like Rabbi Yehuda that it needs five, Ikri Rabbi Shimon, or he holds like Rabbi Shimon that it's three. Oh, Dilmor, maybe he's adding another argument. The Sanhedrin Nami Pligi, maybe he argues on the Sanhedrin, Amar Kulu Sanhedrin Bainan. He holds that the entire 71 members of the Sanhedrin have to leave Yerushalayim and go to this corpse and take care of the service of Egla Arufa. Wow. Amar Rav Yosef said, Tashma, I'll bring you a proof. We're going to learn about something called Zakein Mamre. Let's say in a town, we'll call it Shiloh. There is an issue, and the Beis Din of Shiloh issues a particular ruling, and one sage says, I don't agree with you. I think the ruling is different. I think, you know, the following thing is permitted on Shabbos. It's a big fight. The majority is against him. So they go up to Yerushalayim, to the Sanhedrin HaGadol, and they bring their question to the Sanhedrin HaGadol. And if the Sanhedrin HaGadol says, listen, you need to accept the view, you were wrong, the majority is right, you're wrong. If he goes out and he still doesn't accept the view and he's still telling people to follow his ruling, he is to be choked to death. He deserves death. That's called a Zakein Mamre, the rebellious sage who's refusing the authority of the majority of his court and the majority of the Supreme Court. Then he deserves death. So now, Matzan Abeis Pagi, what happens if we have this rebellious sage? He meets the Sanhedrin not in the Beis HaMikdash. They aren't sitting in the Lishkas HaGazis. They're outside of the Temple Mount. They're in the town Beis Pagi, near Jerusalem. And he tells them the whole fight he's having, and they tell him, you're wrong, you better listen. And he refuses their ruling. He goes back to his town, he keeps issuing his ruling, ignoring the Sanhedrin HaGadol. Yachol Tei Amra Samra. Is that rebellion a rebellion of deserving of death? Talmud Lomar, that's what the verse says about the judge. V'kamta, you will go up, v'alisa la'makom, and you go up to the place. Malamit sha'makom goring, the place of Jerusalem, the Beis HaMikdash. A ruling issued out of the Beis HaMikdash is what causes to create the status of Zakein Mamre. Now, Tidafu Kama, how many sages went out on Beis Pagi that he met them there? Ilim miktasan, that only some of the Sanhedrin went out. So if only some, Dilmanach Dika Gavai Kaima Kavasei, maybe the sages that are still in Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash would rule like him. Elop Shita Dinafakulu. It must be that they're all out. Lemai. Now why would they all ever leave the Lishkas HaGazis? Ilim Ludvar Rishus for some option. Mi Matsu Nafki, are they even allowed to leave? Vaksiv, but the verse says in Shirah Shirim Sarecha Ganasar Al Yetzara Mazeg, which we interpret to mean that Sarecha Ganasar, your protection, your Sanhedrin, Al Yechzer HaMazek, can never get diluted to the level of less than diluted wine. Wine gets diluted 1/3 wine and 2/3 water. So you always need to have a third of the Sanhedrin still there. So let's say they want to go out to, I don't know, say Birchas HaIlanos in the spring. So 23 sages have to stay in the Lishkas HaGazis, and the other 46 or so can go out, and then they'll come back. They'll rotate, and the others can go out. But you always need to have 23 sages there. They're not allowed to break up. So how do you have 71 outside? Elipshitul Dvar Mitzvah. No, sometimes there's a mitzvah that all 71 have to go out for. So what's the Dvar Mitzvah? Hey, Chidami, what's that? Lav L'medida Segla must be to measure which town is closest to the corpse for the Egla Rufa ceremony, and it's Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakovi. And apparently, according to Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, Damar Kulis Sanhedrin Be'inan. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov holds, not only do we need the king and the Kohen Gadol, we need the entire Sanhedrin. Amalei Abaye said, lo, it's not a proof. Sometimes you can have the whole Sanhedrin outside of the Beis HaMikdash, not because of Egla Rufa, as we learned in our Mishnah, Kigon Shiyatsu, Lahosef Alo Yir Vala Zaros. Maybe they left the Beis HaMikdash to expand Yerushalayim, to expand the size of the Beis HaMikdash. Oh. When you want to expand Yerushalayim, the Sanhedrin goes, and they have a whole ceremony, as we'll see here in the Masechet Shavuos. So you need the whole Sanhedrin for that. That's why you could have the whole Sanhedrin in Beis Pagi. Kidatan, as we learned in our Mishnah, Ein Mosifin Al Ha'ir V'Al Ha'Zaros, you can't expand the city of Yerushalayim to create the status where people can eat Kadshim Kalim, they could eat a Karban Shlamim, or the Azaros to expand the Azar of the Beis HaMikdash. Ela bebezdin shel shivim v'yachad, only with the entire court of 71. However, Tanya kavase de Rav Yosef. We do have a brisa like Rav Yosef's question. Matzan Beis Pagi, if our rebellious sage meets the Sanhedrin in Beis Pagi, v'himra alein, and he refuses to accept their ruling. Now why would they be in Beis Pagi? Kigon shiyatsu l'medidas egla. If they went out to measure for Egla Rufa. So you see that for Egla Rufa, you need the whole Sanhedrin. Or Lahosef Aloir, or to add to the city, or to add to the Azaros. Yachshatei Amra Samra, maybe that rebellion is also a rebellion. Tamaloma, that's what the verse says, V'kamta V'alisa L'amakom, the sage is to get up and go to the place. Malamet Shamakom Goreim, only when he rejects the ruling of the sages in the Beis HaMikdash, from that place is that considered Zakein Mamre. Next case that the Mishnah dealt with was Neta Revai, to redeem the produce of the fourth year, which is supposed to go to Yerushalayim, to be eaten in Yerushalayim. If you don't want to bring it there, you want to redeem it. You have to evaluate how much it's worth. Maaser Sheni, or to redeem the second tithe, to eat it outside of Yerushalayim. You have to evaluate it how much it's worth. Shein Dama V'Yedun, if you don't know how much it's worth, you have to bring three judges to determine, three businessmen. Those are the appraisers. What's the case of Maaser Sheni where you don't know what it's worth? Perosh Yerkivu, wheat that spoils. So now there's no real market for that, so you need experts. Yain Shikrim, wine that spoils. Moshe Chlidu, or coins that rot. Tana Rabbanu went in a brisa. Maaser Sheni Sheni Dami V'Yeduin. Maaser Sheni that you don't know how much it's worth. Polen Oso B'Shlosha L'Kuchos. You redeem it, and you with an appraisal of three judges, and those three judges are experts in business, expert buyers. Avalo b'shlosha shein l'kuchos, not three who don't know buying, don't know business. Afilu nachri echad mehen. Now one of them can even be a non-Jew. And echad mehen b'ilem. And one of them can even be the owner. Boy, Rabbi Yirmi asks, what about if it's shlosha matin l'tol kis echad? What about three partners? They're all spending the same money. Mahu, can they appraise it? Tashma, come in here. We learned Yishu shtei nashav, a man with his two wives. Podin ma'aser sheni shein dami v'yeduin. They could redeem ma'aser sheni that we don't know the price. They could appraise it. So says, that's not a proof. The two wives with the man is not necessarily the same account. Dilma could go on Rav Papa, Bas Abba Surah. Could be Rav Papa and the daughter of Abba Surah, who was very wealthy, and she had her own accounts and her own money. Rebbe Yochanan ben Akashi Omer, Ratzak Adish Baruch Hu, Zakas Es Yisrael, Lefichach Hirba Lem Torah, Mitzvah Shenemar, Denecha Vitzel Matzikok, Yagdil Terev Yadir.